If you got your Bibles with you, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I don't know what it is for y'all, but I find myself in this constant struggle. And I know whether it's family or work or relationships, a lot of y'all have struggles. As a matter of fact, Brother Tim and I were talking outside and he goes, "How was your week?" And I go, "Well, I had to remind myself I was a Christian." Anybody else? Oh, your halos are so polished. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel, because I think today, I'm excited about today's message, because for me, it was a little bit liberating, and I hope to liberate some of y'all today. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. "Moreover, the Philistines yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, and he fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint." That means he was exhausted. "In Ishbi-Benob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight," that's about 7.5 pounds, "he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And then the men of David sware unto him, saying, 'Thou shalt no more go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel.'" Let me go ahead and just kind of reread those verses for the kids in a little bit modern way. "Once again, there's a battle between the Philistines and the Israelites, and David went down to his men to fight against the Israelites, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giant, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels, and who was armed with a new sword, said that he'd kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. And then David's men swore to him, saying, 'Never again go out with us to battle, so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished.'" You know, as pastors, we have these cliches that we say, right? "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow." I've heard one, it's like new levels, new devils, which is true if you're playing Mario Brothers. You know, you get to a new level and the giant and the bosses get bigger and bigger. You got to take them down, new levels, new devils and things. But in 2 Samuel 21, I want you to notice something. It says, "yet again." And it kind of signifies a cyclical struggle that they're going through right here. It's describing something that's repetitive in David's life. He's fighting the Philistines. And I know it's some of the Bible students out here saying, it's like, "Hold on, John. You know, I'm not exactly a Bible theologian, but I do know something. I know that he killed Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and that's way before 2 Samuel 21. So what do you mean he's fighting the Philistines?" Well, in 1 Samuel 17, you're right, Bible stud. He did kill Goliath, but he didn't kill all the Philistines. There were a bunch of Philistines left over. So you're right. Now he's fighting a different Philistine, but it is the same enemy. As a matter of fact, same opponents, related to Goliath, it says, the sons of the giant. And I that kind of speaks to my heart, because I have these moments in my own life when I had a struggle this week, and I had the thought, really, this again? Where I'm still fighting the same insecurities that I fought when I was 15 years old. Where I'm still having things nip on the heels of me, even though I've been running with God for 60 years, right? I mean, I got these things. And so what I want to do today is I want to get from the verse in 15 where it says, "yet again," to the verse in 17 where it says, "no more" or "never again." I want to get from "yet again" to "never again." How do we get there? That's why this sermon, I hope, is going to be a blessing to us. So today, what's interesting is David is fighting the same giants. It's not Goliath, but it is a giant. Goliath has been cut off. You know, Goliath's dead. But right here in 2 Samuel 21, some of the people are kind of like Goliath. And it says, "an Ishbi-Benob, which was one of the sons of the giant. The weight of his spear was 300 shekels of brass in weight, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David." Different dude, but just like Goliath. And, you know, and David's changed when we come to him in 2 Samuel 21. Some things about him are the same, but David's changed. You know, David united the monarchy. He got the southern and the northern kingdoms together. He's 40 to 50 years old, and I like to relate to some of the Bible characters because, you know, I can relate to David in some ways, but not in other ways. I mean, in some ways, he's different than me. I don't have his fighting skills, but I do have his temper. I don't have his acumen, and I didn't rule over millions, but I am in charge of 147. I mean, and I can relate to him in that he had a sense for God when he was a teenager, and I actually felt the call when I was 15, and I fought it for 15 years. I fought it. So I relate to that. In other ways, I can't relate to him. Like, that dude was in charge of the Ark of the Covenant. The biggest thing I've ever done is publish a book and raise four kids without killing them. David handled the mercy seat of God. Okay, so there's some ways that I can relate to David and other ways that I can't, but one of the ways that I can relate to David is Scripture says, once again, there was a battle with the Philistines, and I realize David is fighting three decades later some of the same giants that he was fighting when he was 17 years old. And for many of us today, the devil is bringing same kind of flavor of temptation into your life for a different reason. I think it's important to know that because David, it says, grew faint and waxed faint. David was exhausted. And once you recognize this, maybe it'll help liberate you in some areas because there is some deliverance in this right here. Maybe the things that are causing you to drink now are born of the same things that you faced when you were a child and you started drinking too early in your life. And once you realize, or maybe it's the same fear that you had as a teenager that is still afflicting you as an adult that's causing you to push people away. And it happens. And this is what the New Testament says. The devil's got three tools: the world, the flesh, and Satan himself. And the world is that systems of belief, those cultures and those attitudes that are pulling you away from God. That's the world. But then there's the flesh, and that's the internal things that we deal with. And then there's the devil, where he's running around and picking you off. And sometimes he comes at you, and he's not coming at you the same way. But he's only got so many options. And, you know, let me be honest. When you're younger, listen to me, kids. When you're younger, the devil's coming at you at an entirely different expense. Because when you're younger and you need attention, you go into school and you act up. It's like, everybody look at me. And when you need it, you need attention and you get detention. But like when you're older and you need attention inside of your marriage that you're not getting and you step out, it doesn't end in detention, it ends in divorce. Let's see, the stakes are a little bit higher as you grow on up. And think about this, the same passion that made David great as a teenager and able to stand up to Goliath is just about to get him killed, coming up to a giant who's using a weapon half the size, because Goliath's sword, 600 shekels. Ishbi Kanab's sword was 300 shekels. So, and I read this, and see, there's a little bit of a conflict for me because David's not a shepherd boy anymore. David's not a shepherd boy. He's a king. And he's not in a wheelchair now. He's just older. And so when I read this verse and I'm thinking about it, it's like David, I read something into it that's not there. Because when I read this and I'm like, David's older and he's weaker. He's weak. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture doesn't say he's weak. Didn't say weak. It says he waxed faint. He wasn't weak. He was weary. Because yet again, he was fighting the Philistines. I was in the gym the other day, and I was doing what's called a superset. And a lot of y'all know what a superset is. And, you know, you go and you start and you go up to do extreme weight, and then you just pyramid down. So, like, you'll be curling 40s and then sets of 30s and sets of 20s. So I was on the set of 5-pound weights, and I'm struggling. Because my muscles are exhausted. And these punk teenagers, I heard them, hey, he's lifting heavy weight. And what I normally would have done, if I had been in my right strength, I would have gone in. I would have gotten the 50s. I would have just done like that. But I couldn't because I was weary. And David right here, he's not weak. He's weary. And sometimes that dumb thing that you do is not because you're weak. It's because you're worn down and you're weary. Let me ask you this. And if I've lost your attention, give it to me. How can you be weak when Christ lives in you? Amen. Okay. How can you be weak? Then greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. How can you be weak? How can you be weak when you serve the great I am and that spirit that brings life inside of you? You are not weak. You're weary if you're struggling. And I get weary when I'm fighting the same battle over and over and over again. And then, you know, do something. I might say something. And like, how could you have done that? Well, it's because I'm weary. I'm worn down. Here's what I hate. I hate to see people getting tired over battles that they don't have to fight. You know, some battles you got to fight. You know, your mom's in a nursing home. She lives an hour away, and you got to head on over there, and you're coming back home, and you're spread so thin. But the honest matter is there are some imaginary battles that we don't have to fight that I've been fighting for years, and so have you. So where in my life am I being defeated because I'm drained? Where am I stronger than what I'm acting like? And I was on a visitation years ago, and the couple had a young child who was kind of colicky, and forgive him, he just needs a nap. And I'm like, I get it, you know, because, you know, here I am, I'm 60, I just need a nap, a little bubble bath, a little some candles, you know, that's what I need. I just need it. And so if you'll notice in this passage, so much of it is solved. So much of what happens in these just three short verses is solved when the strategy meets the season. And that's kind of what drew me to the text. David is doing what he's always done and what has made him successful. And that's what got him almost killed. The thing that got him crowned 30 years later almost gets him killed. He was crowned for killing a giant, which was what he was supposed to do in that season of his life. But in this season, David almost died. He almost died before he did everything that God had called him to do. He almost died even though he was anointed. and you can be anointed and exhausted, and if you don't know what to do in those moments, the thing that gets you crowned in one season will get you killed the next. Here's the thing. Ishbi-Benob, he's coming for every one of you. And David said, I've killed the lion, I killed the bear, and I'm going to kill this Philistine, talking about Goliath 30 years ago. But now he's in a fight in this season, and fighting like he fought in that season, he's going to die at his own instinct. So here's a question for you, and here's a question for me too. What am I fighting right now? And where in my life am I using old strategies when I need to be, quite frankly, upgraded, right? I'm a different person than I was when I was 30. I'm a different person than I was when I was 20. Lord, I've got a lot more wisdom. So maybe I need to upgrade. There's a video game called Legends of Zelda where you've got to get all the weapons and then pick the right weapon to use, right? Anybody? Okay. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking. Okay, so anyway, that's kind of like this situation right here, where David's fighting and he's just relying on his old weapons, and he needs to change it on up, because if he tries to fight this season like he fought in last season, he's gonna die, and here's the decision that he has to make. The whole thing about whether David lives or dies, the whole thing on whether your joy lives or dies, The whole thing on whether you make it or not, the whole thing on whether you live to show your kids something different is based on the decision that David makes in this point between verses 15 and 17. And I kind of feel sorry for David because he doesn't know how to be a king in this way. Guys, David had a bad example in Saul. David is the second king of Israel, and Saul as a king stunk. David did not have a good example, and maybe some of the struggles in your life are because you didn't have a good example. Not everybody has the great parents that I had. Maybe you didn't have that good example, and David did not have a good example on how to be a king, kind of having to learn it on the fly. And the Israelites, see, the whole reason they fought the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the whole reason they had Saul is because the Philistines were metal workers and they controlled the weapons market and they oppressed the Israelites. And the Israelites were like, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And God's like, I'm your king. Give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And they chose Saul on this reason, because he was taller than everybody else. Now I understand the love of height, but what a stupid reason to choose a king. And so he wasn't a good king, and David didn't have a good thing. And that's the thing about people. Oh, I have a heart to be a good dad. I have a heart to be a good woman. I have a heart to be a good employee. I have a heart to make it. I have a heart to break these chains. I have a heart to get free. But I never saw how. And so now we're fighting 50-year-old battles with 15-year-old tactics. And you got to grow into the season. You got to grow into the challenge. You got to grow into your assignment. And it's not automatic. And if I face something that scares me, you know what I do? If I face something that scares me, my tendency is to go back to the sewer, because here is the worst enemy that I have, an unchecked me. But what I really want to show you is what God did for David when he was cornered, and Ishbi Benob, and he had a sword of 300 shekels, about 7 pounds. Goliath had a 600 shekel sword, 15 pounds. So why can't David beat him? I mean, his sword is half the size of Goliath's sword. Why can't David beat him? Ishbi, and I love that name, Ishbi Benob, right? Because we're all dealing with a little ish, right? Like some newish problems. I've got a lot of stuff going on in my head. So anyway, we all are. We're all dealing with something, right? You know, some of you are dealing with teenagers. Ha! Good luck with that. People will give you the best unsolicited advice like, just give them space. Are you nuts? This is the same kid that I've been around for 24 hours, 7 days a week. And now that they're battling testosterone or estrogen, you want me to back off with the greatest enemy known to mankind is facing them? I'm not going to back off. Get away from me, Satan. So what you have to do is what Abishai did. Here's what I wanted the Bible to say. You know, Ishbi Benob had his sword to David's throat, and what I want the Bible to say is that God sent an angel and took care of all of it. But it doesn't say God sent an angel. It said God sent an Abishai. I hope that's settling in on you. What does David do when Abishai comes is going to determine whether he lives or dies. And here's a question I got for everybody in church today and online. Who's your Abishai, and are you pushing them away? Here's another statement I want to make. As part of the body of Christ, we are all Abishai to come up and to support one another. Because it's like I'm waiting on God. You know the story. Y'all know that story where the man's waiting. There's a flood. He's on top of his house. He's like, oh, Lord, deliver me. And a helicopter comes. He's like, oh, no. And the boat comes, and he goes, oh, no. The Lord's going to deliver me. And a man on Jesse comes, and he goes, oh, no. I'm waiting on the Lord to deliver me. And finally he dies, and he goes to heaven. He's like, Lord, I prayed on you to deliver me. And the Lord's like, I sent you a helicopter. I sent you a boat. I sent you a man on a jet ski. Stop being so stupid, right? And here's the thing. We are the hands and feet and the body of Christ. That's how the Bible describes us. And so we are to be the Abishai for other people. And the flip side of that is other people are to be the Abishais for us. And how can I... And here David is, trying to fight Abishai. And do you know how stupid we look? Because David is like, yeah, I killed Goliath. I did this 30 years ago. I did it. I can do it again. Well, there are things you can't do as a 50 and 60-year-old man that you could do as a teenager. You just can't. Do you know how stupid you would look at 55 holding a sling that you held when you're 15 years old? Anyway, he's saying all this stuff, and maybe God's got somebody for you as an Abishai. So maybe, and this Abishai is like this: never again are you going to go out. King James says, no more are you ever going to go out. We're going to change the strategy this time, David, because, and here's the reason: we don't want the light to go out in Israel. In other words, David, you're important. You're part of God's plan. You're a light to us. And we don't want the light to go out. Let me ask you something. Have you protected your light this week? Because I got to be honest with you, it seems like there's a lot of lights going out where you can kind of see the light going out in somebody's eyes or the light going out in somebody's mind. They're not thinking clearly. They're just kind of tripping over stuff in the dark. And God has put something between you and your enemy. And I'm talking about Jesus right now. Because God says, if nothing else, I will be your Abishai. I'm going to stand between you and the pestilence. I'm going to be your sword and stand between you and the darkness, between you and the depression. And stop pushing Abishai away. And there's one more layer to this sermon that I want to show you. And it means that, yeah, you know, we're dealing with the same thing, but it says in Ishbi-Benob had a sword, and look what it says in verse 16, that he was armed with a new sword. Now, I'm sitting here wondering, why does that matter? Why does it say new? I mean, what's there the big deal about the new sword? And right after the introduction of the new sword, we see Abishai. Not only did the enemy have a new weapon, but David did too. Remember, this is the same David who struck down the lion, the same David who struck down the bear, the same David that put a smooth stone in Goliath's forehead. And you remember when he was fighting Goliath, Goliath was like, hey, come on a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And Goliath had the spear. Goliath was infantry, and David had a sling. David was field artillery, and David practiced what we call distancing, or I like to call spiritual distancing. And so this is the same tactic of the enemy of seeing a giant. But David is going to fight this time, thanks to Abishai, on a different strategy, because if you don't sometimes make adjustments, you'll be walking around with a slingshot when you're supposed to be wearing armor. And it didn't. Anyway, so here comes Abishai. And Abishai comes on up and says, no more. That we protect the light of Israel. I've got an Abishai. I've got a shield of faith. I've got a helmet of salvation. I got a new wardrobe. Yeah, I'm different. I don't have filthy unrighteousness anymore. I'm clothed in a new garment. And so because of that, this is what the Lord says that we can say. Let the weak say, I am strong. And you know, stop letting people get to your light. This is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, where he's talking to the church of Ephesus, and it says, you know, you've lost your first love, and the light is going to be taken away from you. That lampstand, you lost it. You're losing it. It's not a threat. God's not threatening them. He's warning them. And it's possible for us, if we're not careful, to let that light diminish. And, you know, here's the thing about light. And I love the imagery in the Bible because it works in so many different layers. But Abishai said, you know, we have to protect the light of Israel. The Lord said to the church of Ephesus, yeah, I'm going to take away your lampstand because you've lost your passion. And light is kind of tied to our passion. Light's kind of tied to our purpose. Light can give us perspectives. And so when they stop fighting these battles this way, It wasn't that David did anything wrong, and it wasn't that he was a bad person. It was just that he kept fighting not from a distance, but in the way he was fighting, the light would go out. And so I hope you'll start to see clearly that the Lord has, and I hope the Lord with the light, he can show you how to win your kid back. He can show you how to open a door and reestablish yourself. He can show you how to start spending your time. He can show you how to reinvent yourself. And so am I saying when I go home that all of my giants will be dead? No, what I'm saying is there's a difference, and there's that once again, and there's that never again. And between once again and never again, it's not about the devil. It's about a decision. You got a decision to make. Are you going to keep on coming down to these battles? Because let me tell you something. If you're on social media, you can get in a useless battle against a faceless enemy that you will never meet, and it can consume your days and your time and your thoughts. And that's a useless battle. So are you going to keep fighting these useless battles and making yourself weary? So stop letting your enemies clothe, pushing your friends away. Are you weak? No. Are you weary? Possibly. And you have an Abishai in the person of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. The Lord sent Abishai to David, and he sent the Holy Spirit to us. So you have the Holy Spirit. You have a better word. You have a better promise. You have deliverance. You have instruction. You have grace. You have mercy. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raised up a standard that David, he didn't die. That's our God. So what enemies are you facing? What's got you worn down? Is it because you're fighting it the same way you used to fight it, or are you open to the possibility that maybe you need to change your tactics a little bit? I know personally, on a very personal level, that this week has been kind of a challenging week for me in the relational sphere and in the employment sphere. And I just want to pause and say thank you for everybody who leads a family. I want to say thank you for every boss who leads a company where it's a positive, encouraging, and uplifting environment. You are doing God's work. Amen. It is a good thing to lead a company in a positive, encouraging, and uplifting manner. But for those of y'all that are not in a company in a positive, uplifting, and encouraging manner, it can make you so tired, and it doesn't have to be that way. So when you find yourself getting all twisted up and gnarled up and you find your lights starting to go out, just step back and say, I have an Abishai and his name is Jesus. And if you don't, and pick up the phone and call somebody here at church, because we are here for each other in an authentic and real manner, because we are all desperate sinners in need of a sovereign God. And if you'd like to serve that sovereign God, that Jesus who came as our own Abishai, and delivered us.